Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, welcome back. It's Mariners Pod. Thanks for being here once again. We have a lot to get into. The first couple games of the A's series. We'll look ahead to the rest of this series as well. The four-gamer. Fun conversation coming up, too. We talked to double-A manager Colin Cowgill, of course, the former major leaguer. His first year managing, and it's really great. I think you'll really enjoy it. We talk some about his journey, about what he has seen from Julio Rodriguez, what he has seen from the pitchers on his staff, and he has a very unique look, and we'll touch on that. So that will come up at the end of the podcast. First things first, though, the Mariners taking on the A's, and they have won the first two games of the series. It was... So as we sit here right now, and things will change, of course, there's some day games, so depending on when you actually hear this. Boston holding the first spot. They've won six games in a row. They'll play the Mets starting a series. Blue Jays, they hold the second slot, a game and a half back of the Red Sox. They will be in Tampa Bay. That should be an interesting series. The Yankees, a half game back of Toronto. They continue their series with the Texas Rangers. The Mariners and A's now tied, both three games back. The M's have won three in a row, 82 and 69, both teams heading into Game 3 tonight. So how did we get here? Mariners got a strong start from Tyler Anderson, who continues to be excellent for the Mariners. He pitched well, seven innings of work, just one run allowed. He fanned seven along the way. He was excellent. Things got tight late, but what do you know? Paul Sewald coming up big.
Here's the stretch, and the right-hander's 0-2 pitch, fastball, swing, and a miss, strike three. Paul Sewald strikes out Matt Chapman, and the Oakland A's leave the tying run stranded at first and second here in the bottom of the eighth inning. What a job by Sewald, striking out Olsen, striking out Chapman to end the eighth.
Yeah, how about Sewald, the inning and two-thirds save as the Mariners get the win in game one of the series, 4-2. Game two of the four-game series last night, it was more Sewald too, but J.P. Crawford, just a marvelous game on both sides of the ball.
Here's the stretch, and again the 2-2 to Canna, swinging a line shot on a hop, snared it short by Crawford. Down on his knees, gets up, fires the first, in time to rob Canna. Holy smokes, and the inning is over. Smooth, what a play at short. J.P. Crawford on a shot off the bat of Mark Canna. And the inning is over. What a play by JP.
So a handful of excellent plays defensively. Also, plenty of offense as well. Three hits, drove in a couple, and smashed a homer.
And the pitch swung on, and a fly ball into right field down the line. Well hit, and this one is a home run. Goodbye, baseball. Just fair down the line, right over the top of the foul pole, JP Crawford. With his ninth home run of the season, the Mariners get an insurance run here in the ninth inning. And it's now the Mariners 5 and the A's 2.
Really a formula win as Marco went 6, gave up a couple runs. He was solid. Sadler, of course, didn't give up anything because that's what he does. Paul Sewald, again, faced a sticky situation and pitched well.
Runners get their leads. One strikeout for Sewald. He looks in, now has a sign. Here is the stretch. And the 1-2 pitch to Chapman on the way. Fastball, swing, and a miss. Strike three. That's going to retire the side. Another incredible job by Paul Sewald. A couple of strikeouts for Sewald here in the bottom of the eighth, and that's it for Oakland.
Man, he's been so, so good. Steckenrider closes the deal, and the Mariners take game two of the series. So the Mariners have won the first two games of the series. Heading into the last two games, night baseball again tonight. Day baseball coming up tomorrow as the Mariners look for the series win tonight. They look to break the tie over the Oakland A's and they look to continue to hang around, even though it has not been easy. Seemingly, you look around and Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays just are seemingly winning every single day. So here's how things will look coming up. Chris Flexen will take the ball tonight. He has been outstanding for the Mariners. Cole Irvin on the other side of things. You say we'll go Day Baseball Thursday, 12:37 first pitch. It's 6:40 tonight, by the way. And Chris Bassitt is going to go for Oakland. And what a story that is. Bassitt, of course, got hit in the face with the line drive. I don't think anyone would have assumed that he'd be back already and on the mound, but that's the case. He's going to pitch against the Mariners, which is pretty amazing. So he's going to take the mound again Thursday. He has been excellent this year. He was in the Cy Young Award race in the American League. He was having that kind of season before he was hit a ton of innings and really led. What has been the key to the Oakland A's this year? Their starting rotation. So the Mariners will take him on Thursday. So a big couple of games. We visit again. We'll see what happens as we in these two games as we head into the weekend. Of course, the Mariners take on the Angels for three games, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer. In the meantime, why don't we hear from J.P. Crawford after his marvelous night last night?
J.P., just how determined were you to make that play against Canna after coming so close on the Pinder play right before?
Yeah, I was still pissed off. I thought I should have made that play on Pinder. But it's always fun to help get my pitchers out of jams and to keep runs off the board. It's one of the main things. Take pride in my defense every day and try to keep my pitchers out of jams and make that play. I mean, I expect myself to make that play 10 out of 10 times. It's something I work on every day and I take pride in every day. So just happy to help Marco get out of a jam.
JP, on the one off of Canna's bat, is that all reaction? Or, I mean, it's just kind of looked like it handcuffed you a little bit. How do you make, you know, do you practice that one? I don't know if Perry hits him that hard to handcuff you like that.
No, I'd be pissed if you hit him that hard at me in practice. But it's just something you just react to. You just try to judge if it's going to be an in-between hop or a long hop. And so many thoughts go through your head in such a short amount of time where it's just you just react to the ball. I don't know. You just don't think about stuff like that. You just go out there and make plays like that.
Hey, after a kind of a tough series against Boston, how have you seen the team fight back and respond the way you guys have on this road trip? I mean, 4-1, clinch a winning season tonight. Can you just kind of put into words the resolve you guys have shown?
I thought we've been doing it all year. We have a couple bad games and we bounce right back. And that's what I love about this team is no quitting this team. Everyone fights, 1-9. Everyone doesn't give away B's. And we're in there till the ninth. And it's been fun all year. It's been fun competing with these guys all year. And still got an important 11, 12 games left, whatever it is. So I'm excited to come down in this final stretch.
JP, back in January, we did those Zoom deals, and you said it's time to win now. You know, we talked about other people's expectations, but you said, no, it's time to win now. What made you believe that you guys would win now? And what have you thought so far? You know, you guys are at 82 wins. I mean, obviously you're not done, but it's a winning season. What have you thought about this?
We all knew in the clubhouse, we all knew we were going to go out here and have a productive season. We all know we could win. We all know we could compete. And I mean, there's nothing, I would say, surprising to us. We all know we could do this and the type of team we have. So it's nothing new to us. We all knew we could do this. It's been fun, though. I mean, it's been really fun.
Is it kind of fun to exceed expectations and kind of prove people wrong? I mean, like, a lot of people had you picked for, like, 69, 70 wins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We love that energy, though. Everyone keeps doubting us, and we keep proving people wrong, and we're just going to continue to get better. I think this offseason, everyone's going to go into it a little hungrier, get in the weight room, get out there a little bit more. So I'm excited to see how that goes. But like I said, we got to keep our heads down these last 11 games and keep winning.
Do you think people are going to stop shifting on you? I mean, if you look at your spray charts now, the amount of balls you get to the left side of the infield, hard. I mean, like, you get one through today. Do you think people are going to stop shifting here pretty soon?
I hope not. It's a free hit, so I hope not.
I mean, that really has changed your hitting profile, that your ability to go to the left side consistently and hit it with pace. I mean, like, you know, and being willing to do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I put in a lot of work this offseason trying to get my barrel and my hands in the right spot to where I'm not just rolling over a ball. And I really figured out what type of hitter I was last year and this year, too. I mean, I'm not trying to go out there and hit 20. I'm going to take my hits, get on base for my guys to hit me in. I think that plays a big factor, too.
You did get a homer today, though. You don't have 460 like Bowers in you.
What was that?
You don't have 460 foot homer like Bowers. You got one today. It was only 390.
Oh, no, they all count the same, no.
And here is Scott Servais.
Quality starting pitching like that, you're going to be in a game. He did exactly what we needed to get out of him tonight. Love to see him, you know, get through the sixth the way he did. It's probably his toughest, one of his toughest matchups on the card is to get through Yan Gomes there, and he got the big pop up to end the sixth. And then bullpen again, outstanding job. You know, Sadler gets it done. Seawald, a little traffic out there, but he made pitches against Chapman to get through it. And, you know, getting Steck back in there, maybe not as sharp as we've seen him in the past, but the key is in the ninth inning, get the final out, and we got that done. A lot of good things offensively tonight, and can't say enough. We saw J.P. Crawford do everything on the field tonight. I mean, a couple outstanding plays, three hits, you know, the big home run late. Dylan Moore has been outstanding here the last few days, you know, filling in for Siggs the other day over in Kansas City. Big game, get the big hit tonight. The two-out triple to knock in a couple runs. Great time of year to step up, and he's been really big for us here the last few days. So, you know, nice night offensively, enough pitching to get it done, and came in here really thinking we needed to win this series, believed it. We get the first two. We're in a good spot. Unfortunately, didn't pick up a whole lot of ground. We need help, and we weren't able to get it outside of this ballpark tonight. But we can't control that. We did a good job of staying focused and getting the W tonight, and I'll take any questions.
Hey Scott, can you just give JP the Gold Glove now after what he's done tonight and just recently? He's made some absurd plays and all the routine ones.
Yeah, in my mind, it's there's a lot of really good shortstops in the American League, but nobody flashes the leather like JP, and just the range, the athleticism, his ability to finish plays. I mean, the play that I think was Pinder hit the ball in the hole tonight that he, you know, lays out, gets up, throws an absolute dart across the infield. That ball should never even be close. And he's got that type of ability defensively, and he's a Gold Glover if I've ever seen one. There's no question about that.
Scott, I know you guys have so much left to play for, but 82nd win tonight clinches a winning season. Can you just kind of put into words of what you've seen so far this year and what you're looking forward to seeing over this next 11 games?
I'm not sure if I can put it in words, Daniel. It has been an unbelievable season by our guys. And obviously coming out of spring training, expectations very, very low for this club. And we had a lot to prove. And I talked about it continuously throughout the season. Our whole focus was continue to get better. Doesn't matter, just get better. And we've done that. And we continue to do it. You know, you see guys even, you know, stepping up, getting big, you know, big knocks, making big plays, getting crucial outs. As they continue to work on getting better. It's been a joy to be around. I've said it from day one as the season has grown on. I absolutely love this team and how we come to work every day and prepare. And our guys compete their asses off every night. And it's a lot, take a lot of pride in being a part of that.
Scott, going back to that competitive aspect, the two guys that you talked about tonight, Gonzalez and JP, they might be two of your most competitive guys. I mean, like when you have guys like that that are so competitive in every aspect, it has to rub off on everybody, doesn't it?
It certainly does. You know, and even the nights when they don't feel 100% physically, and certainly JP has played in almost every game this season, there's no way you're ever going to take him out of the lineup. He just wants to be that guy. And his will to win, same with Marco. You know, JP's doing it every day. Marco's doing it once every 5 days, but it does rub off. There's a vibe on the day that Marco pitches. He's on some kind of streak. We would not be in this position if he hadn't figured out a way to turn his season around, because it wasn't typical Marco the first half, and we needed it to happen, and he's been able to get it done. But, yeah, those two guys are leading the charge with their competitiveness. There's no question about that.
Did you know Marco was going to turn around? I mean, you've seen him so good for so long. You know, 1-5 with like a 6 ERA to start the first half. It wasn't pretty, but how did you know?
Well, you know, Marco's always been a winner. You know, you go back, this guy won 4 state championships in high school. He All-American, first-round pick. He pitches in the playoffs, you know, with St. Louis rookie year. I mean, he's always won. Guys who always win, they figure it out. And certainly he's won without having a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and just the God's gift to, you know, pitching. He does it with moxie, understanding who he is, and being super competitive. So understanding who he is, felt very good about his opportunity or his chances to get it back on track, but you never know. It was rough. The big thing is, you know, a lot going on. Got to get working through an injury, stuff going on off the field. Dad for the first time, but it's nice to see him settle in and be the Marco that we know he can be, and we've needed it. There's no question.
He's got, if you overlay the spray charts for JP, the amount of balls hit hard to the left side of the field is significant. I mean, is this the area he is? And is there still like a little bit of power that we saw too when he goes pull side?
No, this is who he is. And, I think that, once in a while he is going to run into the homer. We saw it tonight. It was a big one late in the game. But I think, understanding like being a piece of our offense, I don't think the offense will ever really revolve around JP, but being a piece. And that's what he's been this year. From, early in the season, remember, we did not start him off in the leadoff spot. He was last year. We started with Haney. He just kept getting on base, and coming up with the big clutch hit or the big at bat, when you really needed him to, and he earned it. He earned his chance to go back in a leadoff spot, getting on base above league average, and we see nights like tonight where he shoots the ball over the field. He's got that kind of ability. So he is an unbelievable table setter, and he takes it serious. And big thing for him, like you said, Ryan, he's shifted the field, started going the opposite way, and his swing decisions are still always been good. He controls the strike zone very consistently.
And now our conversation with Double A Arkansas manager Colin Cowgill.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride, man. Everyone that's come in town, from coordinators to Andy and Tony and everyone, it's just been an incredible learning experience. I feel like I've learned more in the past 5-6 months than I have over 14 years of playing baseball. So I feel like I'm starting a whole brand new game. From the very beginning, it's very different, but I'm having a blast. And I love our kids and our team. So it's just been a great experience so far.
Is this something you saw yourself doing?
Yes and no. I didn't really know when, plan was going to come to an end. I tried to hang on as long as I could, but Jerry and I go way back, and the off season of COVID in 2020, we started having these conversations before I signed as a player. And then when COVID ended my season, we had kind of the other conversations about life after baseball. And this is kind of the direction it went. And I'm just incredibly thankful for this opportunity. It's been, kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to be offered this position after, right after plan. So like I said, it's just been a great learning experience, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
So what have you enjoyed the most about managing?
Honestly, just the kids, man, our players. I didn't know what my, quote unquote style was going to be. But I really had to do very little as far as, teaching or coaching these kids. They had a great feel of how the game should be played. And our job, I feel like, is just kind of keep them inside those parameters. But in all honesty, this is probably the most fun I've had on a baseball field in quite some time. The last couple of years of my playing career were, a little bit more stressful trying to continue to get jobs and continue to, have success and claw my way back to the big leagues. So, not having the fear of getting released or getting sent down or optioned, all those things, a lot of freedom in this job. And I've been blessed with an incredible group of guys to be around every day. So I think just being a part of this team has been my favorite part, and the learning experience I've had this year.
Well, let's talk about your team a little bit. It's been really fun to watch from afar. Let's start with Julio, who, like every other day or every day, we just see the highlights. We see the videos. Can you describe the run that Julio Rodriguez has had for you?
Yeah, he is just the most exciting player I think I might have ever seen in person on a consistent basis. He does everything from beat out infield hits to smashing pull side home runs. I think since we've had him, he stole 14 bases. We've been running him out there in center field a bit. He has an absolute cannon for an arm. He gets great reactions in the outfield. So, and every day he does something that shocks someone on some level. I think what stood out the most to me so far is his speed. I've seen the raw power. I was in camp with him as a player, so I've worked out with him. I've done outfield drills with him, but I didn't understand fully how fast he was until I saw him on a daily basis, and this guy is, you want to talk about five tools. He has five elite tools, and some days are on, all five of them are on display. And when we get to see those days, it's just really special.
You know, the other guy, especially lately, that we keep seeing every time Matt Brash takes the mound, the stuff that we see on video just looks incredible. What is it like from the dugout watching him pitch every 6 days?
Yeah, it's special. And the first time I laid eyes on Matt Brash was the first time we got him. He made a start for us in Northwest Arkansas, and I'd never seen his motion. I'd never seen him come down the mound. And the first time I saw him throw a pitch, I said, wow, man, this guy comes down the mound like an absolute volcano. Like he's throwing bowling balls with everything, with fastballs and changeups and sliders and knuckle curveballs. And, you know, he has the personality and the confidence to back it up. And I'm fortunate because I stand in these guys' bullpens all the time and try to provide a little bit of feedback and, you know, what I see from their pitching and, you know, their shapes and all this. So, you know, standing in and watching these guys throw bangers at me is a real treat, just to see it, you know, live and in person. But and he throws bowling balls, man, and it's very difficult to hit his slider and to hit his curveball. The changeup has gotten better each and every time out, and, you know, he's got 99 in the tank. So he's got some real weapons, and when they're all on, man, it's a perfect game like you had, you know, through seven a couple of days ago, a couple starts ago.
So just to clarify, when you say stand in, you're not talking about standing behind the guys. You're talking about standing at home plate as you were batting. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, as if I was going to take a swing. Yes, sir. So, and I can tell you with a lot of confidence, if I take a swing, it's probably going to be a swing and miss.
So do you do that? For every, I mean, Stout, Hancock, you go down the list. You do that, Kirby. You do that for all the guys?
I do. Tyler Herb, Stephen Moyers, you know, most of our guys. I really, really love the pitching side. I love our pitching strategy with the Mariners. And I feel like it's my duty to get to know it as best as I can and to see the stuff and then to hear our pitching coaches, Pierpont and Alone and Ryan McLaughlin, all speak to them after their bullpen. I feel like it's just an incredible opportunity to learn and to learn from, you know, great pitching coaches for sure, but also talking to guys who are, you know, very, very close to pitching in the big leagues and trying to understand how they think and how I would think facing them and kind of how that matches up. So I feel like, we're trying to provide them the, you know, the most truthful and honest feedback we can. And I think I can, you know, help with some perspective, having stood in the box against some guys with some great stuff in my career and just try to offer up anything I can that aligns with our pitching strategy and philosophy and try to help these guys get better every day.
So I got to know, you have stood in against George Kirby, who we have seen from afar, his stuff. You got to tell me, what's it like? What's it like facing Kirby? What does that stuff look like?
Yeah, it's electric. I just stood in on him yesterday, and believe it or not, he's trying to get some more ride on his fastball. So he's got, you know, sitting at 95, 96 in his bullpen, and he's about 14, 15 inches of, you know, a vertical movement, and he's shooting for 20. And I tell these guys all the time, it's like facing a big league closer for nine innings. As long as they execute their pitches, there's not a whole lot that's going to get in their way.
It does seem ridiculous, this collection of arms all at the same place at the same time. It's pretty amazing to look at.
It's incredible. And we had a small taste of it when Hancock and Stout were both healthy and pitching at the front and the back end of our rotation. But I'd imagine Lewis Boyd can probably speak to it a little bit better, having them run out all six, they're all five in a row every day for half a year. And then when we got them, you could just tell how much different these guys were than everyone else in the league. The stuff is just, it's just elite, and there's no really other way to put it. It's just they're at a higher level than the guys that we see day in and day out in this league. And you know, the numbers that they put up and we up against the, you know, some of the top guys in the big leagues, they're very similar. So it's just it's extremely unique, but I mean, what a great, asset we have here in Seattle to have some of the best young arms in the game. And in all honesty, there's a significant amount of separation between our guys at the top and some of the guys that, you know, fall underneath.
Well, I know you guys are in the thick of it as we're heading down the stretch here. What does it look like the next couple of weeks? Are you trying to close this out?
Yeah, it's we're neck and neck. I think we're a half game up to make the playoffs right now. And as fate would have it, we got Brash, Williamson, and Kirby going Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, I mean, we got a good shot. You know, if you can ever have a good shot at winning some ball games, I think the next 3 days are it. So, if those guys go out and do what they can do and our lineup, you know, can scratch across a couple of runs, I think we have a real shot of making the playoffs. And we're facing this team in Wichita right now that we would end up playing, I think, for the playoffs, who has a great collection of arms who have been together all year too. So our matchups are really, really competitive. They pitch well, we pitch well. So like I said, we got those three guys going Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, our fate kind of rests in their hands. So I think we're, you know, pretty good hands to have it rest in.
I would say so. How do you, at that level, how do you strike the balance of, and the organization talks about winning is important for teams in the minor leagues and going to the postseason, having that experience, but also you're developing players at the same time. How do you strike that balance as a manager?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely challenging, but I think too, especially our pitchers understand that it's not about having success in double A. It's about having success at the big league. So if we ask, you know, a Devin Sweet to throw his changeup 60% of the time as a starter, and then we move him to the bullpen, you know, it's because we want Devin Sweet to be able to go to the big leagues and throw that changeup with full conviction as often as he can in the strike zone as much as he can. So there's definitely a balance there. And you got to have it treated a little bit delicately, knowing that you might have to suffer through a rough inning or a rough game at the expense of getting our guys better. And thankfully, most of our guys are so good that they don't have too many of those rough innings or long innings. So it makes it a little bit easier when you ask Matt Brash to throw a few more sliders and you know, he throws wipeout sliders. So it's pretty easy on that end, but there is a balance there for sure. And the ultimate goal is to prepare these guys to have success in the big leagues. And our pitching coaches and our pitching staff here have done a fantastic job, I think, in my opinion, of doing that.
How differently do you watch a game now as a manager as opposed to when you were a player?
It's crazy. It's so different. I was watching our game, the Mariners-Red Sox game the other night, and I can't remember the situation. I think it was late in the game, but it's first and third, and I'm pausing the TV to see where Skip's playing the defense. So, like, if I have that situation tonight, I you know, I'm going to do the same thing or I'm going to shoot him a text and ask him why. So I'm definitely watching a difference. It's not like I'm not watching for who's getting the big hit or who's throwing the best pitch. I'm watching where the defense is placed and what the runners on first and third are doing, whether they're going on contact or not. So I can, you know, like I said, I'm trying to learn as much as I can so I can have full conviction when I have to make those decisions too. And you know, Scott does a really good job of all of those things. And so does Manny, is, you know, positioning the infield. So that's the way I'm viewing games now. It's not for the win or loss. It's for the strategy part. So I can, you know, when those big spots come up in a big game, it rolls. I don't have to think about it too much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.